If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Let's talk to Danny Klesko. It's a little Danny Unleashed. You heard it right there. Proudly brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his great team. Absolutely the best. What the hell are you thinking trying to get up on your roof? Why wouldn't you let the experts from Easton Roofing do it? It's what I do. They've been up on my roof twice. They've been on my mom's roof, giving you an education about every possible repair. That's right. Sometimes just a repair is necessary. Sometimes you need a new roof. Happy to do either. Free inspection, free estimates with Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com today, whether it's your home or your business, serving the entire metro area, including Lawrence and Topeka. That is Easton Roofing. They've been on Danny Klinkscale's roof as well. Danny, he joins us here in the program. How are you, Danny?
Doing just fine, Soren. Here remotely in Framingham, Massachusetts, at my sister's house, engulfed in the World Cup and all other things, family business, family matters, you know, all that kind of stuff. But happy to make sure that I represent Easton Roofing, even have a sweaty Easton Roofing sweatshirt on as we speak.
Wow. I don't want to know why you're sweating, Danny. Don't know what goes on. You know, some people like to do different things when they're staying at other people's houses. So I don't know if you're marking your turf or what there, buddy, but thanks for sharing just a little too much information. Appreciate it there.
Just a gym a couple miles down the road, Soren.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll take your word for it. That sounds like a plausible answer there. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And we've got a great game coming up tomorrow. Of course, Danny Klinkscale from DannyKlinkscale.com and, of course, host of College Game Day. So a man who has been following closely the K-State Wildcats' march to history. Is that what we should call this? Like, I like the Cats and the points. In fact, I don't need the points. I'll have them on the money line. I like the Cats outright in this matchup. What do you think about this game?
I think it's going to be a great game. I think that the momentum that TCU has built up over the course of the season probably makes them a slightly more dangerous team than just personnel would bring to the table. I think they have a very confident, gritty quarterback in Max Duggan. But then again, K-State's on a great roll, too. And they've
would
got
a call it a heater.
Yeah, I would absolutely call it a heater. Okay. But it's not as if TCU comes limping into this one. Not too many teams just go out and slaughter Iowa State, and they did that in their last game. So this game to me is kind of a toss-up, but I guess because they've won all their games, I know that in the past you've been someone who says, you know, don't pick against somebody who keeps on winning. So that's going to be my only lean in this game, the fact that TCU has yet to find a way to lose a game. And it should be a great game. I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game. And I think if K-State's going to tip the balance in this game, I think it will be their ability to get after the quarterback if they're able to do that, and or a very electrifying performance by Deuce Vaughn. I think it's a given that K-State will get some things done in the air, and they're likely to have a special teams play that's impactful. But so I'm taking those as givens for K-State, and I think TCU down-to-down is probably maybe not quite as good as K-State, but they have a little more explosiveness over the top. So in my mind, if K-State is able to get after the quarterback, which in the end will prevent big over-the-top plays, which TCU is usually good for a couple of game, that's K-State's prescription for victory. And I think if TCU just kind of does the things that they normally do, I think they're in good stead, too. But this game likely is going to come down to the last possession or two.
Danny, my phrases are to be used by me and me only. I don't need them played back at me. But it is a very good point. I do like you either ride the TCU train or you get off. I've been saying
that one of the reasons why I will go ahead and say it, and I will wager on K-State myself, is the fact that when that first game ended, I was like, I'm all over K-State in the rematch. Like, I believe K-State to be the equal, if not the better team. The quarterback, as we recall from the first game, mm-hmm. they got all the way down to the third string quarterback. Had that not happened, I think they would have won. Now, credit TCU for knocking two quarterbacks out of the game. And I do give them credit, and they are a dangerous team. And I don't think that this is a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I think it's kind of a coin flip game, and I get a little extra change by taking the dog. But you're right. I mean, you know, if you've been playing TCU every week, you hear you get them to where basically they have to win, you should still be on them. I like this K-State team from the get-go, and it would be great to see them get a 10th win. Have a shot at 11th win. Everyone has them going to the Sugar Bowl pretty much either way.
Right.
Taking on Alabama, you know, hopefully a disinterested team from Alabama that arrives in the Sugar Bowl. You get a win against Alabama, and there is a lot for Chris Klieman to claim with what's left. A Big 12 championship with Oklahoma and Texas in the league. I think that's important. Well, they were down. Yeah, that's how it usually works when somebody not named Oklahoma or Texas wins it. I think there's so much opportunity there, an opportunity that may not be there again, right? Like the Will Howard being back, that's great. That is a great start for their season next year. But there are a lot of big pieces that are going to be leaving this team. And I think you only need to look back at Bill Snyder, his tremendous run there. They weren't playing in this game every year, and they didn't win it every time they were there. Opportunities knocking, you know, it's like Patrick Mahomes. That 2019 season got to check a lot of boxes. Chris Klieman can check conference champion, can check beating Oklahoma and Texas for the conference championship. I mean, it gives a lot of swag to this program. I don't think there's much to lose other than the opportunity that's there, because this opportunity isn't there every year. Does it look the same to you?
It does look the same to me. I agree. I think K-State and their fans, if they get this victory, need to look at this thing in the absolutely proper way. And I think most fans do that. I think there's an element of the K-State fandom that I've heard from that if they win this game, they're going to be disappointed at the missed opportunity of perhaps being a playoff team because they discovered or whatever, forced into, however you want to put it, having Will Howard. And there's a lot of people who think if Will Howard had played against Tulane, or Will Howard had played, been able to play longer against TCU, or, you know, maybe they would have even lost that game, but they still would have won the game against Tulane, that this was a season that could have been even better. I think you need to put that off to the side. And if you win a Big 12 championship game, you get in the Sugar Bowl. As you said, you're likely to get a Sugar Bowl opponent that isn't really fired up about that game, but years down the line, it will say that you beat Alabama or whoever SEC team it is, like likely Alabama. And nobody's going to remember that, you know, six Alabama starters decided that they wanted to get ready for the draft or whatever happens. It's still Alabama on their jersey. So that's the way I would look like it. This is an awesome opportunity. And I think there would be a little bit of a hint of disappointment, certainly, if you get to this game and lose it. I don't think it's, just house money here,
right,
because
right.
as you say, you don't get these opportunities that often.
No, but you get what I'm saying for the program.
For
you
sure.
Know, like,
it's already a great season for this program and for Chris Klieman. No question about that. They have great wins. They're in this game. I think that Missouri fans look at the two times they lost to Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game as successful seasons, as fine seasons. Now, a division championship came along with that, and there's not divisions now. But I think making the game is the equivalent of a division championship now without divisions being in place in the Big 12. So this is a great season, no matter what happens for K-State. But certainly, you need to grab big opportunities when you have them. Just think of the difference for the Chiefs. If they didn't rally and win that Super Bowl right now, they'd be like the Bills or, at this point in time, a slight disappointment in the Patrick Mahomes era. That win and a win here and bagging yourself a Big 12 championship and a banner and everything else, they're precious. And it's great if you do it.
And Chris Klieman will be bagging a big contract extension very soon. You agree?
I would hope so. Right down the road, the guy got two in 1 year, which And I don't remember that. Do you remember a coach getting two extensions in the same football season? I don't. So that's kind of a record. And he's got, I mean, what does his agent have to say? Nothing, but he's got two. Can we at least have one?
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, I mean, it's getting to the dollars. He's got to be paid more than Lance Leipold. I mean, the happiest guy in the state of Kansas with Lance Leipold's $5 million deal was Chris Klieman, because he's got to be paid more, doesn't he? I don't think there's any way you could, K-State could allow the man to be paid less than Lance Leipold.
No way. He's been there longer. He theoretically will have a Big 12 championship, a better season. He's beaten Kansas every time he's played him. Yes, he should make more money.
I think even just being in this game, he's got to make more money, doesn't he?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not whether or not he wins. Now, if he wins,
it's that much more money.
Yeah, he gets a chance at Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. His agent might be like, slow down. Let's wait and see what happens. You know, get a win against Alabama in the Sugar Bowl and you want even more.
Or maybe he'll just say, let's go for that two extension equal to take one now and take one after the bowl game. Yeah. Hey, precedent has been set. He got two. Why can't I? I mean, that might be the new thing in college.
Right. And I think the one thing I would caution the K-State fans is, you know, what, you know, I think there's kind of a feeling that, okay, onward and upward, but every year is not promised, you know, that you're going to, just because once you get there the first time that you're going to get there every year. Bill Snyder, when he won the Big 12, followed that up with declining returns, right? Like, I mean, he ended up kind of, you know, after his first one where he beat Oklahoma and went to the Fiesta Bowl, 4-7, 5-6 the next couple of years. So it you need to cherish what you got. I'm with you. I think you make a great point where it's like, well, if we win, damn, now I'm mad about these losses because we should have been in the playoffs. No, you're right where you ought to be. You've got a great opportunity and a chance to accomplish something that doesn't happen that often. So I think that's great. And I think conversely, since we mentioned Lance Leipold, you agree with me that now the work begins, right? As much as Kansas fans have sat around crying in their beer, you know, lamenting that, oh, I'd just take a 500 season. Well, now they've got it. None of them are satisfied, by the way,
right?
As they should not be. But the easy part is getting here. Mark Mangino got the 6 wins in 2 years. Lance Leipold's got the 6 wins in 2 years. If you look at what Mark Mangino did the next couple of years, it's not on to 10 wins the next year, right? Like the difficult part is going whatever it takes to get to this stage, it's going to take more to get to the next step. I mean, Mark Mangino followed up that second year, 6-6 and bowl loss with 4-7, 7-5, 6-6, 3 years of right around the middle of the pack before finally breaking through and going 12-1. The Kansas fans need to understand that. And I don't think it has to take 4 years to have a special conference championship season. And very soon they're not going to have Oklahoma and Texas in the league. And I do not think by any stretch of the imagination, Cincinnati is going to continue to be what they were. They aren't even what they were this year from last year. So I think
they have their coach now.
Yeah. And Luke Fickell's left. So I think their path to a conference championship is easier. And I don't think I'm not saying, well, just wait, it's going to be 4 years before you can do it, but it is harder to every win above six. People forget you still got to win those six. So it's more of an accomplishment every win above. You don't just get the 6 wins banked every year once you win it the first time. You still got to do all that and then more. And I think Kansas fans need to understand that, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to be in this game next year.
Oh, I totally, you know, this league is difficult. Yes, it's going to get a little less difficult, but it's not going to get less difficult next year. And let's face it, they had a great half year so far. The back half of the year, they've been competitive, or maybe the back half of the year, they looked like we might have thought Kansas would look coming into the year. Improved, feisty, won't give up, but they don't win. And that's why I think the bowl game's really important for them. That would look a whole lot better to be a winning team. And, you know, did you show enough? I mean, a lot of the things that were in place early in the season are great because we know how important now in college football the transfer portal is, and people's expectations are not, well, you know, he's losing a lot of seniors, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you got to restack the deck and everything else. No, people say, well, you can get 10 good players from somebody else. And so, yes, expectations should be high. That's great, but it's not easy. This league, does anybody think that Iowa State's going to have a season like they did? Is Oklahoma just going to wallow around next year? Probably not. I mean, you had a good season to get some things done here. And in the back half of the season, you couldn't do it. So, yeah, I would. If Kansas fans are thinking, yeah, this is just the first step, and then the next year, if they say go, you know, a rugged 4-8 like Iowa with some close losses like Iowa State, is that time to, you know, jump ship? No, but certainly you would hope you could do it about what you did this year, but hoping for certain improvement, I think, is kind of a fool's errand. Yes.
What do you think Brett McMurphy put out this morning that his bowl projections don't have Kansas and Missouri playing? A lot of people, I heard folks on the Missouri side tell me they didn't think this game was going to come about as much as the Kansas people felt like, oh, this is a no-brainer. We're going to play Missouri in the Liberty Bowl. The fact that Missouri plays Kentucky on the same day as the Liberty Bowl, they didn't want to divide their fan base and have an empty arena for the basketball team, which is off to a very good start. You know, disappointing, but they're going to play. And I hate to say it. I've had a lot of Kansas fans tell me, well, I don't want to hear Missouri talk about how, you know, they won't play us. They won't play us. We've got an opportunity to play them, and you won't play us. So they've lost all credibility there. And maybe, but I mean, I think it's a good reason why Missouri's not going to play that game. You're already on the books to play in football, and you want your fan base there for Kentucky. It's at least, maybe it's not a good reason. It's at least a plausible reason.
Yeah, it's a plausible reason, but also even if it's cover fire, I don't think Missouri should want to play Kansas this year. I mean, there's no winning in that game. You know, you beat Kansas. Kansas, you know, is just an up-and-coming program. You're in the SEC. You're supposed to beat them. You lose. You have a losing season. Eli Drinkwitz is a losing coach in his years at Missouri, and you lost to Kansas. I mean, that – I could have totally understand. I don't think there's anything to gain for Missouri to play this game. I'd be thrilled for, if I'm a Missouri fan, I don't want this game. And Kansas, I do, because to me, it is house money. You know, little old Kansas, we lose to Missouri. Okay, it's off the basketball season, and we'll see you next year, and we'll be playing down the line, and we'll be better then. So if I'm Kansas, I want the game. If I'm Missouri, I don't want the game. To me, that's it, cut and dried to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. We're talking to Danny Klingscale. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Integrity matters at Easton Roofing. You'll understand the first time you deal with them, eastonroofing.com. You can schedule an appointment right now, covering the entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied, and working with multiple lenders, unlike most roofing companies that only have one lender, take it or leave it. Multiple lenders means bidding. Means opportunity, means a chance for better rates, saving you money. That's what Easton Roofing does, the best company in Kansas City. The only people that'll ever be on my roof, it's Easton Roofing. Find them online at eastonroofing.com. We'll come back, talk to Danny about the Chiefs, little World Cup as well. Danny Klingscale, little Danny Unleashed, you're in the program.
The Good Sense end of the hour answer. What school has the most losses in the Big 12 championship game? That would be Nebraska. They did win it twice, 97 and 99, but they lost four times, 96 and 09 to Texas, 06 and 10 to Oklahoma.
How about that? The Huskers, I think right now with the hiring of Matt Rhule, they'd just like to get back into a conference championship game. They'd love to lose the Big Ten championship game right now. Four losses in Big 12 championship games. Of course, Good Sense, what we're playing for. There'll be Good Sense on my table probably Saturday, maybe even Sunday for the game. We might go with a Good Sense party tray. Great way to entertain, even go out for the tailgate. Grab you a Good Sense party tray on the way out. Everybody at your tailgate will be eating the freshest, best tasting sandwich around. Good Sense, they bake the bread fresh twice each day. The meat and cheese, it's sliced right when you make the sandwich. You can order it online right now. Take it home for dinner if you want. GoodSenseSubs.com, the app. Great way to order. Make sure you're part of that loyalty club. You're going to get yourself, 10% back on your next order. You can't beat that loyalty club. Make sure you're part of it. 10% back, founded right there in Lenexa, Kansas. It is Good Sense. Go get it tonight on your way home. GoodSenseSubs.com. Danny, let's talk a little World Cup. The United States taking on the Netherlands tomorrow morning. What kind of chances do you give them for a win?
I give them a pretty decent chance. I'll say there's a 40 plus percent chance for them to win this game. I don't think the Netherlands has played particularly well in the tournament so far. They are obviously a historic soccer nation, and they should be the favorite. And yes, it's going to be no crime if they go out and, you know, and maybe Netherlands is due to play better. But the United States has been fantastic defensively, as tension racked supposedly as that second half was against Iran. I never felt like Iran was going to score. And
those last two chances, you weren't nervous?
I mean, I was nervous on the two chances, but I'm just saying in the body of play, those are about the only chances that Iran had in the second half. They knew they had to get a goal and they couldn't produce anything. You're a little nervous when these guys got his hand on the shoulder or whatever, and they could call a penalty here. But that was about the only way Iran was going to crack through. The only goal that the U.S. has given up so far was on a bad penalty. So I think defensively they were great. They'll have a lot of enthusiasm for this game. They can freewheel in this game, be the underdog, not have the pressure of, you know, reaching the knockout stage, which really it would have been a big disappointment if they didn't. And because in the end, we look at the group and Iran and Wales weren't very good. So, I mean, it's a good thing you qualified. So I think this game is, this is kind of a house money game to me. I think this World Cup is a success already. They've made the knockout stage. They're playing, one of the big franchises of world soccer in the Netherlands, and they lose this game. And you know, if they get run out, I guess it wouldn't be good. But if this is a good competitive game and they lost, there's no disaster there. But I expect a really outstanding game to watch. And I do give them more than a puncher's chance to win.
The Netherlands are -245. The U.S. is +196. This would be the equivalent of about a 8.5-9 point football spread. 9.5, maybe something along those lines. Maybe it gets to 10. It depends on where the numbers are. But that's kind of the margin, to put it into terms that people, right, I think, are easier to get their arms around. You think that's the right line?
No, I would say that if I was going to give it a football line, I'd give it more like 6.
Okay. +150. Yeah, so then you're all over the U.S. on FanDuel.
If I FanDueled this game and I was getting 10, to use a football analogy, yes, I would be all over it.
Okay. Danny says, splash the cash on the U.S. Right. Take the extra change. No way they lose. Danny Klingskill, quote.
Right, I was at a little tiny watch party with actually Mr. Spiker of Easton Roofing, and one fellow was not very happy when England produced a third goal against Wales. I'll say that. So there are more than one F-bomb flying, as the over-under of 2.5 was not completed on under. So, yes, I've seen the effects of the wagering on the World Cup firsthand.
Do you have anything else you'd like to throw down on this? Any goal scorer, any correct score you want to put on this?
I think this game is, if I was going to pick a score, if I was, it had a gun to my head, I would pick 2-1 Netherlands.
2-1 Netherlands. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Got to look at what your odds would be. I'm new to the soccer.
Exact score, you probably get some pretty good odds, I would think.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out which, are they calling the U.S. home or the Netherlands home? You are getting either +800 to take 2-1.
I like that.
Or +1500. So I'm assuming the +800 would be the Netherlands 2-1.
Right.
So there it is. Danny Klingskill says the U.S. is a lock. Tip. He says U.S. is a lock, but bet the Netherlands to win 2-1. Okay, I like it. I like it. Danny did not say it's a lock, in case you just happened to tune in, didn't hear 2 minutes ago. But he does expect a competitive match, and he thinks the U.S. is actually getting a little more change than they deserve, because he thinks they're a little bit better than maybe they're being given credit for, or the Netherlands isn't as good. That's what some of my friends that are big soccer fans have told me, is that the Netherlands are a little bit overrated. And that he does, you know, one of my buddies is like, they do not belong in the top 10 of the FIFA rankings. And if the U.S. belongs where it's at like 19, 20, I think, is where, or is it 16? 16,
16.
Another right one's, it means they're maybe not quite as far apart. I will say this. They're young and spry. They're athletic. They're fast. You know, I can remember World Cups where it's like the other team, you know, I just like, oh, God, this looks like a minor league team against a professional team.
Right. And the U.S. was always known for grit and whatever, not athleticism and, you know, playing exciting football. And I think that the U.S. is an entertaining team. If the United States had a true number nine on their team, they'd be hell on wheels, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that is what they're missing is that right. Elite goal scorer up top, that elite finisher, Pulisic setting up an elite finisher. And right. You know, I don't know. Is that on the horizon in your mind? Will that be there in 26?
I don't know. I don't see somebody in the pipeline who looks like, Erling Haaland or somebody like that.
Well, let's be honest. If you're an elite scorer, if you're going to be an elite scorer in the 26 World Cup, you're probably between 14 and 16 years old right now, right?
If it's going to be somebody who's going to be a true great, right? These people usually, you know, if you're going to be Mbappe or somebody like that, or Haaland for that matter, these people blossom at 18, 19 years old. So, yes, yeah. That's possible.
It is entirely possible that that person is here or is overseas with lineage here, that he would play for the U.S., but is unknown because he's playing down in the lower levels. That's one thing about soccer is there's an element of gymnastics in it.
Yes.
Right. The truly elite, the truly great show themselves very early. Not 13, but 18. You're on the scene and ready to rock and roll. And that's what happens. By the way, do you like Brazil? They're the betting favorite in this. Do you like Brazil to win it all? Do you have a pick for the whole World Cup yet?
I guess if I had to pick, if somebody said you got to, FanDuel $1,000 of your own money, I'd pick Brazil. They look good. But Spain looked very good in their game, too. So I'd say Brazil or Spain.
Okay. We're talking to Danny Klingscale, a little Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. It's getting cold. You are going to get wet and then freezing. If you get those ice dams building up, you got a little bit of a problem. It becomes a really big problem. Then all of a sudden you got icy cold water running into your house. Don't do it. Go to EastonRoofing.com right now. Get a free inspection. Get a free estimate on any work that needs to be done. It's Easton Roofing, EastonRoofing.com. Let's turn our attention to the Royals pitching coach. I want to get a little baseball in here. We'll get to the Chiefs here in a minute. But do you like the hire? Is it all fixed now with the Kansas City Royals?
No, but we can certainly see the prescription that the Royals are going at, which is people from organizations that either the leadership, ownership is familiar with, and organizations that certainly are more analytically driven, and the organizations that the Royals would be wise to model themselves after, because these are teams in Cleveland, Tampa, those type of lineage, to use that word again, that don't spend an incredible amount of money, have had success on a consistent basis, and even years when they're not expected to do something still manage to play well, like Cleveland this year with the youngest team in baseball. So I think they're going about it the right way. Do I know any how brilliant Brian Sweeney is? He's the bullpen coach. He obviously was in the pitching laboratory for Cleveland. So that's all you can do is judge it by that matter. And Cleveland has developed their own pitching. They have also, brought pitchers in from other organizations and made them better. So I think it's a good hire. I can't sit here and say, oh, this guy is the next big thing. I'm not going to try to pretend that, but I like the hire. I like it better than if they had any hire from within. To me, would have been the wrong move to go right now for the Royals. They're doing it the right way. Get fresh ideas, fresh thoughts in there. People who don't think about the Royals in the way they won the first time around, for instance. And this is a new era. And so I like the hiring of Sweeney. I do.
I like that he got to the big leagues, but wasn't very good. Because I think those tend to be the best coaches.
Right? Yes, they are.
Cal Eldred, frankly, had more success than your usual. Like Greg Maddux is not a pitching coach. Mike Maddux is.
Right.
And has had a lot of success in his career. I know he just got picked up by the Rangers as their pitching coach. But, I think the guys that had to find a way to do it you know, just have that mind that's open to every possible solution, because they couldn't just blow people away. You know, Randy Johnson's a photographer. Okay. You know, not a pitching coach.
Ted Williams is a terrible manager.
Yeah. I think there is, you know, that element of having had to try to do it. And that was Brian Sweeney. And, you know, I love the title. There was an Athletic piece that got sent to me. Meet the Indians pitching guru who is constantly putting out fires. Right. Now, part of that's because he was a volunteer firefighter when the Indians were trying to hire him. That's part of what it is. But, you know, it speaks to the fact that he's kind of the guy that goes in and fixes things. And I think the Royals, you know, if this doesn't work, what we're going to say is they went out with a vision, or we want a guy who's been credited with fixing things, because we think we've drafted the right guys, and we don't want somebody to come in and say, these guys suck, they can't do it. We're all in with this. We have to, these guys have to work. And, you know, if it doesn't work, and I'm not saying it's not going to work, but I think what we'll see is maybe they needed to listen to the people that are like, yeah, those guys aren't good enough. Like, you need to get new guys. And this is clearly a guy that, and listen, they may be right. There's a good pedigree and there's great minor league numbers with a lot of these guys. And if all they need is a little tweak here or there, and this is the kind of guy that can find it, great. It should be a quick turnaround, right? But I talked to some people around baseball that I said, what year do you think, you know, for this team? They said like 3 years. Not what I think ownership wants to hear.
No, I don't think they want to hear that. But what would be the ideal thing is that this guy does see himself as a fix-it type of person. He comes in and he tries to fix it in the short term, but then maybe he gets into the spring training, the season, whatever, and he says, you know, I've seen these guys firsthand. I've tried to make some adjustments with them. No, we need another wave. So I would hope that he's an open mind that way, not that he's just going to slog away and say, for sure, yes, JJ, these guys are great. I'll make them great. I want a more open-minded. Now, Royals fans would hope that he is the fireman. He is going to put out the fires, and these guys are good, because otherwise, you're right. If these pitchers they have right now, these young pitchers, are not the core of a good rotation, then it's going to be at least 3 years before they're going to be good.
I'll read you one paragraph from the story I referenced. His responsibilities evolved more in 19 when he assisted with pitching drills and studied the metrics behind pitchers' deliveries. Sweeney developed a knack for applying advanced data and video, tools he wished he had at his disposal during his career. Chernoff described Sweeney as, quote, a big-time learner, which helps him relate to players who are searching for more revelation with their mechanics or approach. That sounds to me like, you know, the exact opposite of the tales that have been told about Chris Bubich, that he had a new slider, wanted to employ it. The Royals said, no, get these other pitches better first. He seems like the type of guy that is open to anything and everything. And here is video backup for why you should do this. Here's analytics backup for why you should do that. This seems like, you know, frankly, Cal Eldred, I'm sure, got into the video a little bit. Everybody does, delivery mechanics, all that kind of stuff. But this sounds more like a new age guy when you hear that about Brian Sweeney than what they had previous.
Oh, it certainly does. And, you know, what you've heard before is, I think that, you know, in that the piece in the aforementioned Athletic about the Royals having young pitchers in their organization who were seeking out more analytical information because they had that at their disposal at the college level, or, you know, just in pitching camps or with pitching gurus or whatever that they had employed. You know, baseball in America is kind of a rich kid sport these days. So I think these guys, you know, they embrace that type of thing. And if you're not giving it to them, then they're probably like, what is this? You know, this guy's coming up here and talking to me about arm slot. I want to, you know, hear numbers. I want to hear about spin rate and how this is, you know, fixing my fastball or making it, you know, we're going to move. Yes, I may have to adjust my grip on the baseball to get it, but I want that and numbers that back it up. And this guy seems like he would embrace that more.
Let's take a break. One more with Danny Klingskill. We'll get into the Kansas City Chiefs. They've got a big one at Cincinnati. Can they finally get off the schneid, or do the Bengals own Patrick Mahomes as some people in Cincinnati are claiming. We'll take a break. Danny Unleashed is brought to you by Easton Roofing. You can find Joe Spiker's great company online at eastonroofing.com. That's eastonroofing.com. Repairs, yep, happy to do it. Even washing. Do you have a roof that looks bad but actually is structurally fine? You know, they can actually clean that roof, make it look a lot better. It's Easton Roofing. Find them online right now at eastonroofing.com. Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Danny Unleashed with Danny Klingskill from DannyKlingskill.com. Also host of College Game Day here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Danny, proudly brought to you by one of our great friends of the program, Easton Roofing. Great team, locally owned and operated. Easton Roofing handles repairs, re-roofing, you name it, whether it's your home or your business, using every technique. You know, there are a lot of new techniques out there that a lot of roofing companies don't even know how to use. Easton Roofing versus trained experts in every way, shape, and form to repair or replace a roof. Go to eastonroofing.com right now to get more information. That's eastonroofing.com. Or just call Joe and his team at 913-257-5426. Danny, Chiefs at Bengals. The Bengals have certainly been a thorn in their side the last 12 months.
Yeah.
12 months we covered. Yeah, knocking them out of the one seed in the playoffs and then knocking them out of the playoffs altogether in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. Styles make fights, they say, in boxing. Is this a bad style for the Kansas City Chiefs, or did they have bad days just coincidentally on the same day that they played the Bengals?
Well, I think that maybe you can encapsulize this by the fact that in three consecutive games that they played, the Bengals saw their quarterback sacked 9 times before they played the Chiefs and 7 times after they played the Chiefs. And in between, the Chiefs didn't bother Joe Burrow all that much. And the Chiefs did rue some, you know, missed almost sacks that they had against him. But I think their pass rush is in a better place right now. I think that they probably will get to Joe Burrow a little bit more, but you know, the Bengals seem to have found themselves a little bit, but I think this game is, you know, not like the Chiefs need some kind of a, you know, pat on the head or something, but they seem to have a lot invested in this game. They've talked about it. You know, they've circled it on the calendar, all those type of cliches you want. And they have been beaten in two very significant games by the Bengals. And I think this game to me doesn't have as much import as far as this season as a whole is concerned as to the Chiefs' psyche. Their schedule the rest of the way is easy. I think the Chiefs can dump this game and still be the number one seed in the AFC. But it's how they will feel about having invested so much in the game and then losing it if they do that to me is the most important aspect of this game.
I really thought before the Bills swoon, and they looked much more impressive last night against the Patriots, sure that it was going to take a 15-2 season to get to the one seed. You know, it mathematically, it may still take that if the Bills don't lose, but the Bills have a difficult schedule the rest of the way. Obviously just their division and having to play in their division makes it more difficult. You know, do you fear that the Bills get back on a roll after what you saw last night, which was a pretty easy game against the Patriots? I think the Patriots can look very beatable. At times, they either have a great game plan and it looks good, but you know, defensively, they're a good team. They always are, but offensively, they look pretty inept and continue to look pretty inept. What do you take away from how good the Bills are and what it's going to take? I mean, you're right. The math says with Jets at home, Dolphins at home, at the Bears, at the Bengals, Patriots at home, you know, at Cincy's the one. I mean, they get 3 home games and at the Bears and at Cincy. Now, again, Jets, Miami, and Pats are all difficult. Miami will be playing the third consecutive road game because the Dolphins play at San Fran this week, stay in California, play at the Chargers, and then go play at Buffalo. So it's, you know, that sets up for the Bills. The Bills' schedule is certainly more challenging than the Chiefs, but it's maybe not as challenging as the names when you look into a little bit deeper at what all they have and the fact that they've already put the Patriots in the rearview mirror. How many more do you think the Bills lose?
Well, I do think the Bills looked good last night. Obviously, I'm here in New England, so I watched the game with a Patriots fan and a guy who's is a good football fan who knows his football and isn't like a super homer. And I thought the Patriots' game plan wasn't that great, actually. I thought they were playing a light box all the time, and Buffalo ran the ball really effectively. And if Buffalo runs the ball that well, they're back. I mean, because that takes a lot of pressure off of Josh Allen, who still made one big mistake in the game. But I don't think the Patriots are very good. So, I think the Bills didn't take advantage of that. But going into New England in a primetime game that was very important to the Patriots and killing them, I mean, the game was really never in doubt to me, was something to be impressed by. So I would say that the Bills look like they're starting to click. Von Miller doesn't look like he's going to be out very long, and he was out for this game, and they still looked pretty good on defense.
He's going to be out at least four games. I mean, with the IR, right. I mean, he'd, right. You know, so.
But he's coming back. He's coming back. So I think they look like they're back, but their schedule looks to me like they can they'll probably lose at least one more game. And I think the Chiefs likely will, if they lose a game, it's going to be this one. And actually, I think they're going to win this game in a close game. So, yes, I like the Chiefs for the number one seed still.
The scary part for me,
and I think the Chiefs are actually, you know, maybe improving themselves. I think they've gotten through the part of the schedule where they kind of stole a couple of games, and I expect some fury here the rest of the way. But of course, I've been waiting for that for a long time for the Chiefs.
Yeah. 27 for 115 out of Cook and Singletary last night was the scary part for me. If they get the running game going without Josh Allen having to carry it, now they still gave it to him eight times. He took a big shot to his left shoulder. That was throwing the football. Took another big shot running it. I don't know why they continue to expose him, but my fear is that they saw enough out of Cook and Singletary to believe that, you know, okay, we can hand off and run the ball. If they do that, I think they're very scary. I agree with you from that standpoint. What's your prediction for what happens in the Chiefs and Bengals this week? Do you like the Chiefs to get it done?
I do like the Chiefs to get it done in a close game, you know, the kind of game at the end where I think maybe the Chiefs have some, you know, get ahead by more than a score and the Bengals make it, you know, dicey at the end. I just like the Chiefs the way they're playing on offense right now. They seem to have some things figured out. The biggest thing to me in this game is whether they can control Henriksen in their pass rush. The Bengals are getting a little bit better on defense, it seems to me, as the season goes along, and their defensive secondary is pretty good. And of course, you know, they get Chase back apparently, and I kind of feel like they probably left him out one more game than maybe they needed to save him for this game. So I expect him to be difficult. So a pretty high scoring game. I'll go like 37-31 Chiefs.
There it is. 37-31. Danny has put it in the book. You can put it on the board. Yes.
I put too many things on the board right here during this particular segment. I'm sure my inbox will be full when none of them come through. So
did you have the Cats winning? I forgot.
No, I had.
That's why you leaned to TCU. You said because they're on a roll. So yes. Lean to TCU. Netherlands 2-1, but don't mind betting the U.S. Think you're getting pretty good return if you do bet the U.S. And 37-31 Chiefs win and cover. That's Danny Klingscale at DannyKlingscale.com. All your wagers are all right there.
Right. And Danny at DannyKlingscale.com is my email. So there you go.
So if you want to blow him up, if you want to hate, there it is. Danny at DannyKlingscale.com. That's where it is. Danny, you're the man. Appreciate it, buddy. Always great talking to you. Look forward to seeing you back in studio next week.
Sounds great.
All right. Who was the last Chiefs quarterback to win a game at Cincinnati? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.